Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to jump into the dialogue and discussion with your questions and comments, we'd love to have it. I believe we still have Jim that is with us. Jim, do you have a direct question you'd like to ask Joyce? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Charlotte Joyce. She is the school board representative for District 6. Let me just do a little parenthetical footnote to that. She represents District 6, but when she makes a vote, it's for the entire county. And so we're looking at a conservative Christian Republican on the school board that we need to place our trust and confidence in, I believe, and by an overwhelming landslide vote, keep her in office with what she is doing to protect our sons and our daughters and our grandkids in the public school system here in Duval County. Charlotte, let's pause for a moment to see what Jim has to say with further comments or questions.
Yes, sir.
Well, basically, what I was getting at is children are children. They're not going to make rational, responsible decisions, and they are to be raised by their parents. What would you ask of people like me who are in the community, even though I don't have children, I'm still a taxpayer, to help advance a common sense agenda? Because anybody that thinks that this is common sense to allow these children to carry on, you know, in a way that will irreparably harm them later in life. Not saying all, but I'm saying there is cases of this carrying on into later life because a child's mind is not developed.
I completely.
What are your thoughts and responses to that, Charlotte?
Well, I completely agree. We're talking about children, and we're talking about the innocence of children. As far as what can community members do, when I go around and I speak to different groups, one of the things that I always say, because I think it's super important, when I was running for this seat originally back in 2018, I didn't have any money, so I had to knock on doors, which I enjoy doing. But I knew that I wasn't going to be able to send you a card in the mail. So I had to hand deliver those palm cards to you to ask you to vote for me. And one of the things that was really interesting and really sad to me was that when I went around and knocked on these doors, and specifically Republican voters, what I was hearing from the older generation was that we don't get involved, or not everyone, but, you know, it was a significant number of people that would say to me, we don't get involved in school board races. We don't have children in schools. Our grandchildren, they don't go to public schools. So we don't get involved in public school board races. That is, in my opinion, the most important race on your ballot. you have to get involved in this because this is the future of America. And we have seen that in the past, the school boards are, they've been generally very liberal. They are indoctrinating our children. And this is where we are in the state of America because of this. And so I would say pay attention and get involved in your local school board races.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Charlotte. Jim, thank you so much for your call and your input and your question. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote on what Charlotte has just said. You need to get involved, and I don't mind saying it very openly and very directly. I believe that everyone with the sound of my voice, you need to be, I would just say, listen up, stand up, speak up, and let your voice be heard at the ballot box. And I believe we need to put Charlotte back in office by a landslide vote. Charlotte, take just a moment and let our listeners know how they can reach you by email, by website, by telephone number, and what they can do to assist you in this very critical race to make sure that you go back into that slot as a school board representative for us.
Well, I appreciate that. My website for my campaign is Vote Joyce, VoteJoyce.org. You can visit my website. You can sign up to volunteer. You can make a donation to the campaign. But I think that just spreading the word that there is an election, this election all the school board elections that are going to take place in Duval County are going to be decided August the 23rd. We need to make sure that, you know, there are some people that are primary voters and some people that don't vote in the primary that just go to the general. This primary election is going to be super important. So make sure that you spread the word. Make sure that you're telling your family members and your friends to go to the polls, vote for school board. And, you know, school board is a very down ballot race. So you have to go past the judges before you get to the school board. And a lot of people just check out. And so go to my website, votejoyce.org. You can reach me there. And then just spread the word. Go to the polls August the 28th, whether you live on the west side of the district that I represent. The Beaches is also up for is also going to be on the ballot. And so just pay attention. Go down ballot. Go to your school board races and share that with the community.
And absolutely, Charlotte, if I could just expand that a little bit, I believe that it is the responsibility of every Christian, conservative, and patriot that's listening to the sound of my voice and yours today, that they vet the candidates and make sure that we vote for those that are going to stand for parental rights and not allow the governmentally controlled school system to indoctrinate, brainwash, and destroy the morals, the values, the ethics of our kids and our schools today, and take that right and privilege away from the families and the parentals and the parents that have the responsibility. It is the parents' responsibility to train that mm-hmm. son and daughter and not the educators. Charlotte, just for a moment, I believe our listeners need to understand what you're trying to emphasize today, and that is the fact that this LGBTQ, and I'm calling it the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, and I use that because LGBTQ is not used in the scripture, homosexual is not used in the scripture, gay is not found in the scripture, 38 times the word sodomy and sodomite is found, and that is taking place across America in our school system to indoctrinate and to brainwash our sons and daughters. And now one of the things that we're finding in our school system, and it's the same thing here in Duval County, where they're insisting on pronouns, that the proper pronoun be used for that individual that is sexually dysphoric and feels that they're a girl and maybe a boy. And even in some school systems, don't know if it's found in Duval County or not, where the teachers, the professors, if they do a wrong pronoun, they can be admonished and are in some way either fired or in some way dismantling their authority in the classroom. And I find that to be egregious. Hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I just got a quick question. When this nonsense started shifting? You know what I mean? Because this is very vile, wicked, and evil. Do you imagine if an adult starts talking to any minor about their privates? To me, that's a pedophile. The grooming kids. Why this is allowed in the classrooms? That's the question number one. And I would like to ask the candidate, do you imagine if any teacher start talking about Jesus in the classroom? what would be happening with those enemies within Democrats? My question is, why we as Christians are not doing, speaking louder against those pedophiles teachers in the classrooms? That's my question, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose. Charlotte, would you like to answer that?
Well, I guess I will say that, teachers, we do have board policy that you're not allowed to indoctrinate children. You're not allowed to do these things. But what we know is that teachers are doing it. I know of teachers that are scared, that they're tired. They don't want to use a pronoun, or they don't want to use an affirm name, but they're being told that they have to, and it's very frustrating. And I think that, part of our teacher shortage is that teachers already have enough. They already have enough on their shoulders to just teach children and to do the work that they're there to do, besides all of the other things that the district is placing on them, as far as, using affirmed names and keeping track of. There are some children that come into the classroom and they change their affirmed name, several times within the year. So, and the policy is the procedure is you have to go by those affirmed names, whatever those children want. So I think that's definitely an issue. I had a teacher reach out to me recently that had a transgender male in going into a female locker room. And, she was a Christian and she's at her wit's end. I'm supposed to do this. I'm told that I have to let this student in. I'm not trying to be a bully, and I'm certainly not trying to discriminate. But what's happening is it's making the other girls in the locker room feel uncomfortable. And so, we had to address that issue. I reached out to the district to address that issue. But like I said, these things are happening. I think we are in a spiritual warfare, and I just ask your audience to, continue to pray. Prayer is the best weapon we have against the enemy, and get involved in your school board races.
Absolutely. Charlotte, I'm looking at part of the LGBTQ support guide, and it says names and pronouns. Schools will use the name and gender pronoun corresponding to the student's consistently asserted gender identity upon request of the student. Are the parents notified when the student makes that request?
Well, they hadn't been until this law has been passed. And so starting, the law will go into effect on July 1st. And so moving forward, the district is not allowed, or they will be breaking the law, to do any sort of social transition, call a student by anything other than their birth name and their assigned sex at birth, their pronouns. They're not allowed to do that without talking to the parent and the student and having consent from both of them.
Charlotte, there's another question I have that I believe would be important for us to understand. Do you feel that some of the teachers have been threatened if they do not comply with the LGBTQ guidelines?
Well, I do think that they feel like they could lose their job or they could be reprimanded. So, yes, sir, I do.
Let me ask you a question that I think is paramount to the whole conversation that we're having today. It appears to me, as an outsider looking in, and when I say an outsider looking in, I'm very, very heavily involved. I'm still less than 100 years old. I've not missed a local, state, or national election since I registered to vote less than 100 years ago. And so I'm vitally interested in what is taking place. What I see taking place, as I view it, is a school board that's being neutered as to its responsibility to the parents because of Dr. Green's ability as superintendent of schools to basically ramrod what she wants done and how she wants it carried out, notwithstanding the desires of the school board? Or is it the fact that the majority of the school board is simply for this type of agenda? What is your view on it?
I think that it's I think you have a school board that is supportive of the agenda. But I do think that, when you look at the LGBTQ plus guide, there's a lot of federal laws that are quoted. And I think that, in my opinion, there's this misrepresentation of a lot of these laws. Never you know, we definitely as I think we as believers don't want to bully, that we don't want bullying. We want to share. We want to love, you know, everyone. But what the problem is you can't take, you can't put a wedge between the parent and the child. And so that is the real fight that we're having right now, is that we are fighting for parental rights. You know, there's a group that's a church in Duval County that's from Russia, from the Ukraine, that's been showing up to our school board meetings. And what they're saying and what they're doing is, this is exactly what happened, is that the government puts a wedge between the parent and the child. And they're basically saying the parent doesn't know what they're doing. They're old fashioned. They are not astute with the ways of the world. And this is the beginning of, you know, the overtake, the takeover of the government, you know, of these children. And so, I don't know if I answered your question, Dr. Youngblood, but I will say that this is definitely a war, and that we need to primarily focus on the fact that we are not going to surrender our parental rights, and that me as a mama, I have birthed my children, I have breastfed my children, I have stayed awake with my children, I take care of my children. My children are my responsibility, not the government and not the school districts. And so that is the fight that we have, and we need to be on guard and very watchful and not allow this to happen or stop it from happening.
Charlotte, one of the things that I'm sure you're aware of, and perhaps our audience needs to understand it, in the LGBTQ resource guide that's published for the Duval County Board of Education, it has on there other local resources. Equality Florida is one of them. Equality Florida is a major proponent of the push for the HROs in each of the counties, especially in the state of Florida and across the nation. They have offices and departments across the nation. Equality Florida, they have Equality Georgia, Equality Alabama, et cetera, et cetera. It is a major, major, major LGBTQ sodomite agenda to sexualize and to recruit our children. And yet it's in the guidelines for the resources for the teachers to offer to the students in the classroom. Another one is the Jasmine Club. And it says here, the mission is to support and empower LGBTQ young people by creating safe space, providing health and wholeness services, and offering youth development opportunities while bringing people and resources together to promote equality, human rights, et cetera, gives the phone number, et cetera, et cetera. Whole point that I make, Charlotte, I'm looking at a page full of references that's provided for the students to sexualize them, to indoctrinate them, to brainwash them, and to embrace them with their, sexual dysphoria at the young age that they do not know better, or that they are pushed into doing so. And yet, with all of this being said and done, it is not allowed, the Duval County Public Schools, as I understand it, for anybody bring in Jesus or talk about Jesus. Has to be in a special meeting, et cetera. But in the classrooms, they can sexualize and indoctrinate and recruit our students. I find it absolutely dismal, and I find it the responsibility personally. I say this, not putting words in your mouth, Charlotte. I find it personally the responsibility of Dr. Green, the superintendent of the schools, that I personally have on this broadcast before asked that she resign, or asked the people to encourage her and push her out. We need to go back to the elected school board superintendents so that the people have a choice, the people have a say-so in the game, just as we elect school board members. And I want you to know personally, I am thankful for what you're doing. I am prayerful that God will give you victory. And I pray that our listeners would understand the importance and the vital issue that we're talking about today to get people involved. Hold on just for a moment, Charlotte. I believe we have Jeff on the line. Jeff, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I'm going to start this off by telling you that that I am Christian. I'm also in a counseling role at Duval County, and I just want to present to you a scenario. And I'll take my the comments offline. Let's see. I talk with a lot of young students, very young students. Some of them are very, very confused. 7 times out of 10, the first thing out of their mouth is, "Don't tell my parents." Now, I spend hours trying to get into a relationship with students where they trust me, where they'll talk to me. Now, if I go after they tell me not to tell their parents and report to their parents, I destroy that relationship of trust and ensure that they will never speak to me again about it or anyone else. Okay, that's my observation. I'll take my
Jeff, hold one minute before you go offline. Let me ask you a very serious question. Since when does it become the school's responsibility to have psychobabble in the classroom to try to encourage a student to go a direction that is against the will of God?
That's not the question. No, the question is the relationship the counselors are expected to, by law, expected to establish with their students, and you immediately – You're suggesting immediately destroying that relationship.
Okay. No. In fact, I watched you do the presentation when Charlotte had presented the resolution, and you spoke very eloquently in favor of encouraging the students along the line of a dysphoria in their sexuality.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Charlotte, would you respond to that, please?
Well, what I want to say is the parental rights and education law does not at all say that as a counselor, and if a student comes and confides in you, that you have to go and tell the parent. That's not what the law does. And so that's just mischaracterization of it. If you socially transition a child and you complete a plan, you can't do that without parental notification and parental consent. And so, you know, that's a concern, is that there's just mischaracterization. As a guidance counselor, if a student shares something with you, nowhere in this law does it say that you have to tell the parent of what this child is, you know, confiding in you. And I certainly, as a teacher, when I had students come and talk to me about things, I didn't get on the telephone and call and talk to the parent and tell the parent about it. So I think that, you know, we do need to nurture those relationships. But again, you know, we need to focus on what the law says, and the law does not make you talk to a parent or contact a parent. Only if you're changing the services of a student do you have to include the parent in that.
Well, I want to ask Jeff something, if he's still on the line. Jeff, a student comes to you and they're concerned about and confused about their relationship to Jesus Christ. They're confused about what does the Bible say and what they need to do as far as human sexuality is concerned based on the authority of Scripture. What kind of advice do you give them on that subject?
I would say that's a subject they need to bring up with their pastor and their faith leaders.
But it's hard to bring up a subject of sexualization of a student, and you're to embrace them with the sexualization, the dysphoria sexually, but you're not willing to say that.
Oh, that's
no,
great. That's
no,
great.
That's exactly what you're doing.
I
understand your diatribe. I understand it completely.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question and answer this seriously. Okay, when you were young,
I asked the questions. I asked the questions on this show.
Okay.
I asked the questions on this show.
Did you play with dolls? Did you play with dolls? You did, didn't you? Did you play with dolls?
Jeff, have a good day. I asked the questions on this show, not you. And I understand your psychobabble. I understand your perversion. I understand the approach you take. I understand you made it very, very clear in the school board meeting when you were against the resolution that Charlotte brought up. You spoke emphatically, de facto, against the resolution because you didn't want to adhere to anything that's morally, ethically, and biblically correct. But thank you so much for your call. Charlotte, I am delighted that we had the privilege to talk about this today. And one of the other things that I need to bring into this picture is the fact that the school board's now asking the voters in Duval County to increase the taxes for the school board to be able to, again, mismanage some of the funds. What is your position on the request for the voters in voting for an increased tax for the school board? What is your position on that?
When the millage vote came before the board, I voted against the increase. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't because, well, I'll tell you why I voted against it. We're talking about teacher salaries. And so the vote came before the board to increase teacher salaries. But when you really look at the fine line and the fine print, there's a lot more that's involved in what this is going to fund. It's going to fund arts and it's going to fund athletics. And it's going to actually increase the salaries of every single person in the district besides the superintendent, the cabinet members, which are the staff that sit in the front of our board meetings and the board members. And so my concern with this was that
this had not been bargained. And so what exactly are the teachers going to get? And I wanted it to be bargained. I wanted the taxpayers to understand, you know, where this is going to go and how much are teachers going to get. Because at the end of the day, I believe teachers do need to make more money, but I think that we need to be honest about where the money is going before we present that to the taxpayers.
Absolutely. And here's one of the things, Charlotte, you may or may not have the answer to this. Don't feel bad if you do not. What are we spending as taxpayers in Duval County to change the names of several schools in Duval County? What does it cost per school, basically as a ballpark figure, to go in all of the process of changing the name?
Well, it's going to be different depending upon whether it's an elementary school, a middle school, or a high school. The funding was supposed to be raised. I think that the funding has completely or is very close to being raised to do that. So it wasn't necessarily taxpayer dollars that were spent on the name changes. My no vote to that was that at the time, you know, we'd had a year of talking about this, and at the time, very little funds had been raised to change the name of schools, and I was not going to vote for any taxpayer money to be used to do that.
I'm in agreement with that. And Charlotte, for the benefit of our listeners, the documentation that I've read and the projections that I've read on that subject indicates that somewhere between $1 and $2 million per school, because you've got to wipe out all printed material, go back to basics and reprint all material, change the sign changes, diploma changes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. $1 to $2 million per school. I call that squandering taxpayers' dollars. And I want our listeners to know I'm 100% against saying yes to increasing the taxes for the school board by one red penny. I'm against it simply because of their indication now, the school indication now, that they have an inability to properly manage the taxpayers' dollars and expending them properly. Charlotte, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. I want you to once again give our listeners contact information, how they can reach you, what they can do to assist you. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say one more time, we need to put this lady back into office with a landslide vote. Now, Charlotte, tell our listeners how they can do that.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. My website is votejoyce.org. You can go to my website. You can donate to my campaign. You can sign up to volunteer. And then I would ask I know your listeners are praying people. And so I would say the best weapon we have is just to go to the Lord in prayer and to ask that his will be done.
Amen. Thank you so much. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.